Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families. If Moreno is elected senator, he'll push to eliminate diversity, equality, and inclusion programs as part of the racist MAGA Republican Project 2025. We've come too far to let extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. MAGA Moreno is a mega mistake for Ohio. Register to vote by October 7th at ohiovoterguide.org and re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. Paid for by Win Senate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
We've ever gotten from wrestling, MMA, boxing have come from Bet Online. We are so proud to be doing business with them. A lot of you guys are saying, wait, you can bet on pro wrestling? Yes, you can bet on pro wrestling. In fact, I've got it at a minus 200. This lawnmower outside my window isn't going to stop by the time I do this ad read. You hear that? I would have made some money at BetOnline AG with that prop. Go check out the BetOnline wrestling odds. That's the only ones you have ever seen on Fightful, because we only trust BetOnline AG. They're 25 plus years, their safe and secure environment, their high limits, their credit card acceptance is all unmatched. You can bet big with their rebet functionality as well. The earliest lines that you're going to find, whether it be wrestling, MMA, boxing, or other sports, BetOnline. Check them out. What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful. It is August 26th, 2024. We are fresh off of AEW All In. We have our post-show review that did really, really great here on the channel, across all of our platforms. We got all kinds of stuff. I mean, a ton of backstage news on that show. So please check that out. I'll get the plugs out of the way momentarily, but I want to welcome on Denise Salcedo before she heads to Berlin. We won't see Denise for a couple of weeks as you're traveling, Denise.
Yeah, you're right. Right now, when you said a couple of weeks, I was like, damn, where am I going? And then I realized that I was like, oh yeah, it is going to be a bit, because I'm also going to be going to All Out. But I think I'll be here that Monday. I'm not even sure, to be honest. I don't even know. I come back Sunday. Yeah, I come back Sunday. Yeah, you're right. Then I will take an extra week off.
I think over the next month, we have two shows together, because I'll be gone the 23rd, because that's Monday Night Football with the Bengals. So I'll be there doing that. But by God, we're here right now. We have interviews here on this channel this week with Nick Nemeth, first one I've ever done. Mojo Rawley, ahead of the Black Label Pro Wrestler Combine, which I'm so excited to go cover next week. And Jade Cargill. So make sure you guys keep your eye on that. Looking like I'm going to be able to interview Maven this week as well. And In the Weeds should have a very good interview. We have so many great interviews here on YouTube.com/Fightful. But also check us out, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram. We are growing those. We are almost ready to hit 100,000 on Facebook. That would mean an awful lot. But our lifeblood is FightfulSelect.com. There's no other way to put this. We had like 10 times as many scoops as any other outlet for Fightful Select, for All In, all that stuff. And we are going to be very WWE heavy this week. I have multiple WWE contract stories coming. So head over there, do all that. But if you're here right now, leave a thumbs up. Do the roll call, my friend. Drop a fruit emoji. Let us know you're here. Send a super chat or a humper chat. Pretty easy to figure out that one. We are going to spend a bit of time tonight on a not great topic, but we're going to reminisce in a very positive way. Unfortunately, today it was revealed by his son that Sid Udy, also known as Sid Vicious, Sid Justice, Psycho Sid, had passed away and had been battling cancer. Since then, I've talked to a couple people that said that he did. Obviously, he kept it very quiet, kept it very close to the vest. He disclosed it to a few people. But, man, it was such a surprise. It was a shock to lose Sid. I had posted on Twitter, like, when I grew up in the 90s, it was the era of the monster heel. You had Earthquake and Yokozuna and Vader and Sid. And unfortunately, all those guys are no longer with us. But what they do leave behind are some really, really incredible memories and just some really, really great things that we can remember them by. Denise, how you feeling? We saw a tribute on WWE Raw that I thought they knocked it out of the park. And my God, on a few hours' notice, knocked it out of the park. And Michael Cole had some very kind words as well. What are your memories of Sid?
So first of all, I think that it was really nice that they did that they did the video package, because I think that stuff definitely means a lot to the family and of course to the fans, but especially the families, because it's nice to see someone that you love, you know, their life's work be acknowledged like that and remembered. And I can imagine that they've been, you know, seeing all of the love and everything coming out from everybody on social media that has been writing, you know, all of the nicest things and just like memories and clips. I mean, my whole timeline has been filled with so many like little videos and moments. Like I have so many of them right here, just like lined up, because, you know, it's been nice just to like go back and just look at those things. And, you know, I think the number one thing, and I think like the first thing that I wanted to say when I thought about Psycho Sid, like the first thing that I think of to me, and it was even mentioned in the video too, was, it's simple. Aura, Sean. It's aura. It's people. You can't teach a presence like that. And, you know, everybody talks about, obviously, the you know, winning the title, Madison Square Garden, Shawn Michaels, him coming out as a heel and him being the heel and him getting like massively cheered. Yeah. That's like one of the things, like, I think I've watched that clip now like 100 times because it kept popping up on my timeline today. And it's things like that, that's why I say aura when it comes to just like putting someone over. And I don't know, Sean, it's sad. It sucks. And I hate every time we have to talk about, you know, losing somebody. But at the same time, it's nice to celebrate someone's life.
So I saw Sid when I was like wee little, couldn't even talk yet, but I saw Sid and I was like, oh my God, this is the perfect looking pro wrestler. Just like you saw him and you're like, there's nobody that he couldn't beat up. You know what I mean? Like, and he was so jacked, and he would wear like this big singlet back then too. One of the things that I loved about Sid is he would constantly change his name. Like, he was Sid Vicious in WCW, Sid Justice in WWF, then Psycho Sid when he came back, but he was always Sid. So you always knew that it was him. And he wouldn't stay any place like that long, but then he'd get plugged right back in and you're like, oh yeah, well that's Sid and he's the man and he's a main event level talent. Even though he had never won like a world title up until he won that one from Shawn Michaels, I always looked at him as like a world title caliber guy, like as a kid. Like in my head, he was a world champion, even though he hadn't been a world champion yet. You mentioned the Shawn Michaels one. Oh, I really loved the road to get to WrestleMania 13 because they had already made the match. It was Undertaker versus Sid, and it was Steve Austin versus Bret Hart. And Steve Austin had won the Rumble, obviously. They did Final Four, all that stuff. And there was that great cage match where their opponents for WrestleMania were helping them because each man wanted to compete for the world title at WrestleMania, obviously. So you had this unique dynamic. Oh man, I love that. That was so cool. One of my favorite things that Sid would do is the fist bump on the way to the ring for fans. That was like so contagious. I can't believe nobody else has done that since. As KE775 says, Sid's July 96 through April 97 was fantastic. Coming back in July, beating Bulldog at SummerSlam 96, Vader October 96, Shawn Survivor Series 96, Bret Hart 96, main eventing Rumble, and Mania 13. And it's so wild how he was just gone for the first like 6 months of 96. And I'm looking back and I'm like, if that were today, WCW would have snatched him up immediately and put him like in the NWO storyline. Can't believe they didn't. I don't know what kind of deal he had then, but it was just wild because he would complete these like main event level programs and then he hit the bricks for like 6 months and you wouldn't see him. Like he was just gone. After Mania, he didn't do like anything until he showed up, I think, for one or two matches in June. And then he left again and he didn't pop up until he showed up, I think, in ECW. And if nobody has seen his ECW stuff, Denim Sid showing up and just whooping ass was incredible. It's just wild to think that like in the midst of the Monday Night War, like late 97, all of 98, beginning of 99, like if that were today, both companies would be like, we got to get his ass in here. What are we talking about? This guy was main eventing WrestleMania. They would be trying to make that work. Wild to think about. There was a Sid and Vader tag team, Masters of the Powerbomb. They were so, like, those were the two biggest, scariest sons of bitches humanly possible. Denise, I thought Sting was going to die. Legitimately, as a child, I remember being fearful that these two men were going to find and kill Sting. Just so horrified by it. And then, of course, there's the funny moments. Like, some intentional, some not intentional, Denise.
Kevin Nash one?
The Kevin Nash one. And then when Kevin Nash is dressed as Sid, oh, my God, that was unreal. Of course, Jim Ross, we're live, pal. But one of the intentionally funny ones, Denise, when they crushed his car and he runs and he jumps on it. Oh, my gosh, yes. And he's like, Goldberg, why me? Why me? Oh, Jesus Christ.
I just did it like not too long ago. I did like a little look back video and reaction to that. And I was just like laughing so freaking hard because it's the why me? And it's so exaggerated, good. Which kind of makes it like really funny to enjoy. But like, that's the thing. And like, I'm jealous because for me, you and I had a totally different experience when it comes to this, because at that time, like I still wasn't watching wrestling in those early years, like, you know, in 96, 97, like I didn't start watching wrestling until like late 99. And, you know, 2000, 2001 was when I really started getting like into it. So a lot of the stuff that I saw was not live. It was on, you know, replay. It was on, yeah, you know, best of moments. And that's how I saw, you know, so many wrestlers, right? But but that's the good thing in a way, because it's certain people that, you know, had great moments that you cared enough to be like, okay, well, I'm going to watch this because I know I should probably, you know about this. And that's sort of how, like, I, you know, learned about, you know, Psycho Sid and seeing all of his moments from back in the day. And I always talk about this all the time, but like WCW is always playing in my effing house. Like literally, believe it or not, like that's all you see on this television when you walk into this house. It's on a freaking loop. So all of those moments have sort of just like been like embedded in my head. But you also mentioned like the ECW, like having him in ECW. And it's crazy because, you know, the ECW fans, Sean, they didn't like anything WWE related or, you know, like even with WCW and all of that. And the fact that he went out there and he got a reaction that almost made it seem like, I don't know, like a freaking Bret Hart was showing up or something. Like that was the reaction that he, you know, got. And so, I don't know, it just goes to say that presence does a whole lot.
Now, I know that we've got a lot of younger viewers that, quite frankly, never really saw anything of Sid. Please go back and just see what a force this guy was. But there's a lot of people asking about, like, the softball thing, by the way. So, it was a running joke that Sid would disappear in the summer and go play softball. That's why I said, like, it's shocking that he was out of action. But, like, this guy saw so many resets. Like, he was a top guy in WCW in like 1991. It's just unbelievable how he was there. And then that summer he was gone and you're like, well, where the hell is he after El Gigante wrote him off? Well, maybe he was playing some baseball. He shows up in WWF and he's debuted as like a newer guy. And works into the program with Hogan, obviously. I mean, listen, this dude had a couple of you know, major WrestleMania matches, working Hulk Hogan, working The Undertaker in a main event. But he did like his original run in WWF was not very long. He was out of there by April. He was long gone, coincidentally, before the summer of 93 or summer of 92. And he just vanished for a year. He was just gone. And this is my recollection as a kid. Shows back up. And again, he was on there for the Shockmaster debut.
Oh, yeah. And
when you listen, you can hear him say stuff like, oh, God, I told you. Like things
Didn't
like
he say
that.
Like, oh, shit, or something?
I think so. He yeah. was more incredulous than anybody else. But that run in 93 ended in October. And it's like, well, where the hell's Sid? He was gone for another year. Popped back up and had to start from scratch by being Shawn Michaels' bodyguard. But then they made him a top guy again by turning on Shawn Michaels. And he did the feud with Diesel. He did the Million Dollar Corporation thing for a little while, helped 1-2-3 Kid turn, vanished again, came back, did his top guy run in WWF, vanished again. Came back to ECW, did his WCW run, and then very unfortunately, he had that just horrific injury. That it's a miracle that man walked comfortably, much less wrestled again, Denise. And he did. And one of my fondest memories was the Heath Slater spot in 2012 when they were leading to Raw 1000. And Heath Slater said he was the master and ruler of the world. This was during a very terrible crowd era for WWE. They did not give him the respect he deserved. But that man was out there at like late 40s, early 50s after a double compound fracture, power bombing another grown man. Oh, man. Bless him, dude. Like that guy, I don't know if there's a more perfect looking pro wrestler. And Terry Allen Jr. says the Sid theme is very nice. And betraying Shawn. Yeah, the Shawn Michaels betrayal was so good. I know that those power bombs he did got ragged on at the time, but I loved it because Shawn Michaels was like over rotating for them. So Sid would power bomb him and Shawn Michaels would completely flip to the point where he would almost land on his feet as well. Vanessa, a good friend of the show. Good to see you here. Sorry I'm late, but I'm present with her little peach emojis. Didn't watch Raw because I was watching the Indiana Fever versus Atlanta Dream. Listen, good stuff there. Glad to see Caitlin Clark emerge relatively healthy. Says, I'm here for y'all. RIP, Sid. Well, thank you for stopping by, Vanessa. We really appreciate you. Day-Day says, continuing from the watch-along, today's Keke Palmer and Macaulay Culkin's birthday and National Dog and Toilet Paper Day. Well, you know Denise is celebrating National Toilet Paper Day. RIP, Sid. Love you, Denise and Sean. Well, thank you so much. Get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. We would greatly appreciate it. We want to hear from you guys. Will said, I love wherever Sid went. He was crazy over. Not just crazy over. He was crazy as well, Denise.
Yeah. Like, there you go.
All of it. His man was a little mental on there. It's just wild for me to think that in any wrestling landscape, that guy took 6 months to a year off three times in a decade, and companies were just like, eh, yeah, because he had his controversies, the Arn Anderson thing, and there was the squeegee and the squirrel where he made a bet with Brian Pillman that he couldn't keep a squirrel, a pet squirrel or ferret in his pants for an amount of time, and it bit him in the leg.
I don't know that one.
That's the rumor, and I don't think that Sid ever dispelled it.
Wait, what animal was the keeper?
I think it was
his
a squirrel
pants?
or a ferret.
And
it
Sid had to
keeping.
Keep it in his pants.
That was the rumor.
Okay, I don't know that one.
And then Sid got mad at Brian Pillman and came.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
After with a squeegee. That is one of the most fascinating men in the history of wrestling. Sean, can you recommend anything to watch of Sid? Okay, listen. Per se, Sid is not going to have a lot of Matt classics.
It's more moments.
It's moments.
Feuding with Sting, of course, the Shawn Michaels stuff.
Yes, feuding with Sting, of course. He was a part of the 92 Rumble, albeit one of the less great parts of that Rumble. But the Shawn Michaels match was very good. He had the cage match against Brett that was good. There was an October 95 match against Brett that was also good. Really, all of his stuff with Brett was really good. He had a lot of good ones there. The Survivor Series match in 95, it was the wild card. That was such a fun match. It was Ahmed, Shawn Michaels, who were baby faces, teaming with Sid and the British Bulldog, who were heels, against Dean Douglas, Owen Hart, and Yokozuna, who were heels, and Razor Ramon, who was a baby face. That was a lot of fun. Sid was really good in like multi-man matches. There was the Sid, Shawn Michaels, Ahmed versus Camp Cornette match as well, which was really dope. And then the War Games match, which I think Flying Brian almost got powerbombed out of his soul there as well. But man, it's just also, you know what? The Steiner Brothers match, I liked it. The one against the Twin Towers. I know a lot of people, it's kind of polarizing, but I really liked that. I liked that one. Oh, man. Ryan Sully sends a very generous super chat, says, "Hey, SRS Denise, RIP Sid. I've only attended a couple PPVs, PLEs in my lifetime. One of them was Mania 13, which Sid wrestled the main event. Gone too soon. Your 5-year Raw post-show anniversary is coming up soon on September 16, Denise. Party after Raw. We should throw a party on that day."
I was going to say, are we even going to be on that show together, you and I?
Yeah,
You were going to be gone a day. Okay, September 16.
I'll be gone the next week. And yeah. I'll be gone the next week. Ryan,
I gotta also, put this on my calendar.
Thank you so much. Look at this. Somebody says, "Denise sell out from Wrestling Observer." Wait, she was here first.
I've been with the Observer for almost the exact same amount, at 4 years. I've been with FIFO for longer. 5 years, and I've been with the Observer for 4 years. This is nothing new, guys.
She is what we call a freelancer, guys, because responsible outlets, when you don't have them hired full-time, don't care when their staff works elsewhere, because it's weirdo shit to say, "Hey, I'm not paying you a full-time wage, but don't work anywhere." Well, granted, I had a few of those in my days. And Denise, you know what? Dare I say, Denise, you're probably a major reason why a lot of outlets can't do that to people anymore.
I was going to say, I feel like I wasn't the first, because I don't know everybody, but I was one of the first to like start working in multiple places because, well, people got to pay the rent. Well, I'm talking like wrestling and stuff, you know?
Oh, no, I definitely, I worked for an outlet before Fightful,
And I've been pretty honest about it. I was on food stamps, not being able to afford my rent. I asked them for a raise. They said no. I was working at other outlets and they tried to say, no, you can't do that. And then I said, all right, I'm going to be looking for other places to work. And for any editor of any kind of outlet, unless you pay your staff a full-time wage, you do not have say over where they work. As long as they are not under, and listen, if they are undermining you, well, then guess what? They can go work that other place. But I think that's lame shit to try to prohibit people from working elsewhere.
Exactly. And anyways, I mean, I could go on a rant about that like a whole hour, but I'm not gonna.
Quite frankly, I want people that listen to you on Busted Open or Observer to be like, you know what? I like her. Let me go listen to her on Mondays as well over at
Fightful. It happens all the time. Like, there's people that will discover Fightful or whatever, like vice versa. It goes every direction, or from Fightful to this person to that person. Like, it just works.
Yeah. KE775 says, I believe he's supposed to feud with Warrior in 92 after Mania 8. However, Warrior got fired a second time. You know what? I would like to put together something that is like a what was Sid supposed to do before he left for softball all those times?
That would be kind of cute. Yeah.
Patrick says, Sid Udy for Hall of Fame, long overdue. What are some of your favorite Sid matches? Going to watch Wrestle War Games match after this. Also, fuck bitch ass Billy Batty. Well, also, yes, I agree. Sid would probably say the same. But yeah, the 91 War Games is by far the best match he had anything to do with, unless you count the Royal Rumble as well. I mean, that's by far the best one. But listen, like, I enjoyed the antics of Sid. That's what I liked. That's what I was there for. It was the character elements, and you mentioned it best, Denise, the aura. The man had aura to, like, such a different level of everybody else. He just looked.
I can't even think of someone who kind of has that energy right now.
Yeah. A moment. I'll tell you a match that is near and dear to my heart. Marty Jannetty was like my favorite wrestler as a kid. And he main evented Raw with Sid late 95. And that one was cool for me because it was two of my favorite performers at the time. But if I had to throw out a couple more matches, Davey Boy and Sting against Vader and Sid, Rick Rude and Sid against Dustin Rhodes and Ric Flair was a lot of fun. Those are probably a couple I would go with.
Do you think that they'll induct him to the Hall of Fame maybe this coming year? And this is next one?
I hope so, and he should have been in there before. He should have been in there well before, and that's why they need to get off their asses with a lot of that stuff, man.
I was actually reading this quote from an interview that he had just done last month, and it kind of sucks even worse because it was just last month, but he was on the Attitude Era podcast, and he was asked about that, and he had said that you know now that Vince is gone, there's a more chance for that to happen. But it makes me sad to think that he was already going through this and probably knew that he didn't have much time, and maybe kind of it would have been nice for him to get that Hall of Fame moment, at some point way before.
I mean, listen, if anybody from WWE happens to be watching this, put Demolition in the Hall of Fame while we still have them. Put Lex Luger in the Hall of Fame. Put these people in. Like, let them have their moment. Let them have their flowers. If it means something to them, let them have that for what they gave to you and what they gave to us. J.M. Mellegrita says, oh my God, what happened to my car? Goldberg! Jason says, first time I see Sid on my TV is when he was part of the Skyscrapers. It was Skyscrapers, not Twin Towers. That's what I was thinking of. With Dan Spivey working with the Road Warriors, that was a war. Oh yeah. Big meaty men slapping meat. George Moore says, the Millennium Man had some pretty good moments in his second run in WCW. RIP, one of the best big men ever. I'll share a moment right now that I love. They did this Goldberg feud with Sid, and the whole thing was he wanted to beat Goldberg's streak. And you would watch, and like, as a kid, I was such a stickler for everything making sense. So here I am, like 9, 10 years old watching this. And I'm like, wait a second. he doesn't have that many wins. I read all the house show results. I was like a little 10, 11-year-old reading the house show results. I was like, he doesn't have this many. They're like 50 wins in a month. But then they started to lean into that, and Sid would just show up and powerbomb people. And every time he powerbombed somebody, he would count it as like 3 wins. So that's how he was racking up his wins. He would just show up backstage, find a luchador, powerbomb him into a table, and he's like, that's 5 more wins!
You know what?
Love that.
It's also a sign that you should have known you were going to be in this wrestling reporter business game. That you're like, I don't know, these facts ain't, the math ain't mathing on these
listen,
houses.
I was looking, I was making everybody sure everybody defended their titles within 30 days. I was on DDTDigest.com.
At 9 years old?
Oh my God. As a little kid, I was probably like 10, 11, but I was a little kid reading DDTDigest.com. That was my shit, man. I loved it. We got Rasslestat saying my favorite Sid memory is when I almost legit T-boned his car at a parking lot for a WCW house show. The fun part, his passenger was Rick Steiner, who he was facing in the main event that night. Much love to the big man. Indeed. Now, we are going to talk more about Sid on the hump this week. I'm sure Jimmy will have his thoughts as well. But I want to thank you all for understanding. Like, listen, Sid was a major part of my fandom. I mentioned earlier this year how important Sting was to me. And, man, Sid was as well. And I love these big sons of bitches that we had in wrestling in the 1990s. And you know what? I think there were a couple fellas tonight that did them very, very proud.
This is a night for a big meaty men, you know, honoring.
Did them very proud. If you all have super chats, humper chats to get in, please get those in. Let's hear from our wonderful sponsor at Nord. Oftentimes we talk about NordVPN.com/Fightful, and I'm telling you about one or two different features that they have. How about this? I'm going to tell you about a bunch of them. Threat protection, global server network, safe from disruptions with their kill switch feature. They have reliable encryption. They have the fastest VPN on the planet. A 30-day money-back guarantee. Great deals at all times. Incredible reviews online from some of the best publications in the world. And 24/7 support in case you don't know what you're doing or how to use it. They got you covered. Shield your data from snoops and criminals. Protect yourself on public Wi-Fi. Secure every device you own. Add extra layers of security to your digital life with NordVPN.com/Fightful. If you're abroad, listen to your favorites. I know a lot of wrestling fans have been traveling a lot more with big events. NordVPN.com/Fightful will protect you. Guys, leave a thumbs up on this video. We would greatly appreciate it, as always. Again, we are trying to grow on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, all that good stuff. It would mean an awful lot if you guys would show us some love over there. But we did have WWE Raw. This will be a little bit more of an abbreviated review, as we did spend a lot of time on the Sid stuff. Meet Norma said, hi, SRS, and the Pillow Hammer, Denise Salcedo. Am I missing something? Why are you the Pillow Hammer?
You don't want to know.
What are you doing? You out here pulling some J.D. Vance stuff?
Yo, what? I ain't doing no couches.
He's supposedly in Lexington.
That's not what's happening.
Listen, he's supposedly in Lexington tonight. I don't care your political affiliations, guys, but I ain't letting that man anywhere near my couch. He can take it to Bob's Discount Furniture because I'm about to sue them. But
nobody's leaving their couches on the curbside, not even for trash pickup.
Listen,
they're like, nah.
I don't care what side of the political spectrum you end up on. Those were some of the greatest memes of all time.
Yeah, there were some really good ones in there.
Day Day says, best tag team, Denise and Mark Henry and Denise and Reg. Well, you go to hell too, Day Day. What's this bullshit? What's this? What are we talking about?
Damn, bro.
Where the hell
Poor
am
Sean
I?
Catching strays.
What?
You're catching strays, Sean.
Like, what do you say fuck me for?
What?
You want to know why? Because you're always telling people that I'm off taking shit. That's why.
Probably are. Jonathan Corona says 5th anniversary on Mexican Independence Day. Party, party, party.
You want a Nicholas party hardy? Piñata party. Yes. Do you know the Mary-Kate and Ashley song? I want a party hardy.
Do you know the pizza song?
Piñata party. From Mary-Kate and Ashley?
Yeah.
How does it go?
Give me pizza. P-I-Z-Z-A.
I kind of remember that.
Watch the slowed down version. It's demonic. Nicholas says, with Roxanne seemingly entering her final NXT months, have you heard any main roster execs reactions on her or any other talent on NXT? It's funny because I often mention that I think JC Jane would translate really well to the main roster. And I've had people reach out and say, yeah, we've thought that for a long time. Don't know what the holdup is there. But with Roxanne, it is like it's a when, not if scenario for her. Like they all know that she's going to go up to the main roster and that she's going to succeed. And there were a lot of people that were not in favor of her heel run. And they're like, well, look, she showed how versatile she was. And any reservations that the main roster people might have, those are long gone now.
Obviously. I want to see Lola Vice on the main roster at some point. I really like Lola.
Oh, I think she'll translate well also. You got the Judgment Day promo, but it gets interrupted by the LWO. All of them. This leads to a big match where the Judgment Day ends up defeating the LWO. Thumbs down here, Denise. What's up?
Yes, I was so angry during this because Dominic Mysterio was about to hit a freaking frog splash off the top of the rope to Rey Mysterio on the commentary table, and the freaking Terror Twins, Rhea and Damian, came to save Rey. And I love Rey. Hell, I'm wearing my Kitty Rey Mysterio shirt. But I wanted to see that damn frog splash, and I was so mad when it didn't happen.
You think too many people do the frog splash?
Like, I think a lot of people do it, but not everybody does it great.
At one point in WWE, Dominic, Rey, Kevin Owens, Montez Ford, and Sasha were all doing it. And now Mercedes is gone. I'm like, we could probably do with Kevin Owens doing something else. Dominic, I understand. Rey, I think it should be a rarity. And Montez, I'm like, he kind of claimed it. It was kind of his after he did it that good. You know
I
mean?
Don't mind it at all because I think everybody does a different version of the frog splash, which is kind of crazy to say. But they've all just added a little tint of something different to add their own flair to it.
And I've brought this up a number of times, and I was so happy because Corey Graves did as well. You know, I'm not referring to the horrible things that Art Barr did because he did some gross.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.
Shit. But like as a performer, Dominic reminds me far more of Art Barr than he does Rey Mysterio or Eddie Guerrero. And that was Eddie Guerrero's tag team partner in back in Mexico back in the day. And that's who he really reminds me of. And that's a good comparison as far as a performer goes.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like that when it, again, when it comes to the frog splash, I do think that a lot of people, I don't love how everybody does it. I think some people do it really well and some people don't do it as well. And that kind of sucks to say. But yeah, as for Dominic, though, I didn't like that moment got ruined. I'll be honest with you. I hated that. And I know they're supposed to be baby faces and we're supposed to cheer for the Terror Twins, but I was pissed when they came out to save Rey. I also didn't like the start.
Legit mad on your watch along.
I was legit mad. I was like, no, screw this. Y'all tease me and then you ruin the moment.
I mean, why, I don't understand why the LWO would have any love for Damian Priest and Rhea. Like, Rhea turned Rey's son against him, Denise.
Yeah,
broke the family, true. Showed up at his house.
Yeah, that is true.
I want some continuity here.
Well, I mean, I think they're just along the lines of, oh, well, we're all baby faces, so let's all freaking circle together and hold hands. I don't know. See, now I'm even more mad. Why'd they have to come out and ruin it? But for the opening promo, I also didn't like. I didn't think it was a hot way to start off the show. I thought that Judgment Day felt really flat. The new version of the Judgment Day felt really flat with that opening Raw promo. There was really nothing. Like, tell me something they said. Liv and Dom are on top. Okay, great. Whatever.
Well, Apex Caliber says Finn and finally saying that Priest and Rhea were the heels. Yeah, he is sort of justifying like why it is that they're the good guys, so to speak. But kind of think that everybody are assholes in this situation. It's just there's a couple of people that are more likable assholes throughout this entire process.
Yeah, they did a whole video where they were talking about how they're the bad guys and I don't know what else, Damian and Rhea. They did a whole video about that. And I thought, okay, so they are bad guys. So then why are they coming out to save Rey Mysterio?
Yeah. I mean, maybe Rey Mysterio
didn't even like Rhea Ripley.
Maybe if it's them trying to make good for what they've done to Rey, that I'm like, all right, and we'll
then
see.
You start with an apology. Hey, sorry, Rey, that we ruined all of your family holidays. Listen,
I wouldn't mind them bringing that up next week, like saying, we realize now what we did was messed up, and we realize that we were the catalyst for some of this. Because I think that reflecting on your poor behavior is a very babyface thing to do. Nobody's perfect, obviously. We also had the Terror Twins promo. Rhea speaking in Spanish is going to get a lot of, you know, engagement on social media. So there's that. Apex says Rey even complimented Rhea out of nowhere. Well, listen, that's going to happen. We've also got
he hates La Live. That's what he called her. La Live.
La Live.
La Live. What
is, isn't that the Live?
Yeah, but it's like the female version. Yeah, La Live.
Okay. Okay. He goes, why the hell they save Rey? I'm with you. I'm with you. Jonathan Corona says, let's just say if a big WWE or AEW does a PLE pay-per-view at Mexico, what would be the name of it in Mexico? What do you think, Denise?
They could do Si Se Puede. That could be kind of fun, like as a tagline. I mean, that's like a name, Si Se Puede. They could do like, I don't know. I feel on the spot. I can't think of a name. I feel pressure. That's all I've got. They can come up with something better, though.
Jonathan Corona says it'd be cool if we see Sean in WWE 2K in the community section. If so, Sean can win titles on it. Oh, boy. If somebody makes me, I will do some sort of career mode on there. I'll do
they
a stream
They don't have to
series.
Make you. Just get a PNG of Big Bird. That's you.
Anyway.
I'm sorry, Sean. When I think of your avatar, I think of Big
Bird. Yeah, I don't care. I might be wrestling in a couple of weeks. We'll see. We'll see how that goes. Man, did you see that drop toe hold I hit on Effie? It was a work of art. Work of art.
Can I Sky tell you Pirate, who you also remind me of?
I don't give a shit, Denise.
You also
Let's
remind
review
me
show.
Of Gumby.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
You remind me of Big Bird and Gumby.
Thanks. Thanks. You remind me of Pokey. You look exactly like Pokey.
I don't know
anyway,
who Pokey is.
Don't worry about it. Anyway,
this Pokey, the horse.
There you go. Yeah, yeah.
Honestly, he's kind of cute, so I'll take Pokey.
My God.
But I'm honestly offended that you didn't say SpongeBob because that's my cartoon.
Did you see SpongeBob showed up and put somebody through a table at the Smitty? Oh my God! At Cole Radrick's show, Jeremy Lambert was there on the scene. SpongeBob and Patrick 3D'd somebody through a table, Denise.
No, I did not see this. Is this allowed?
Like, probably not.
Nickelodeon probably, get mad or something?
Perhaps, but ask for forgiveness, not for permission. Damage Control defeated Shayna and Zoe, and then Zelina shows up and attacks Sonya. We got that match next week. This do anything for you?
Absolutely not. Oh, actually, I was too aggressive. I didn't mean it that aggressively. No, it wasn't bad. There were some good moments in this. Like, I thought Zoe Stark looked good. I think people always forget that she's actually really good in the ring. And I feel like a lot of it, the reason why people have forgotten is because she just has been in sort of like not really doing much. I feel like she got off to a really hot start on Raw. And then it kind of just ended after the stuff that she did with Trish. They kind of didn't really pursue that any further. But I think the other thing that kind of had people sort of wondering, why are Shayna and Zoe, along with Sonya, always losing these matches? They're supposed to be the cool Pure Fusion Collection or whatever, or collective.
It's a terrible name.
Yeah, PFC.
It's a horrible name.
I know. I feel bad because I feel like people now hate the group just because of the name. Not because they suck or anything, but because of the name. Now they're getting hated on.
As I look here, okay, yeah, they lost tonight. They lost last week. They didn't win the week before that. Shayna lost the week before that as well.
Okay, maybe it's not just the name. But I feel like people are turning on them. And I feel, again, that it happened because of the freaking name. It sucks so bad that people are like, nah, I can't be on board with that.
It is a weak name, for sure. For sure. Not for me.
You think they'll change it?
No, I think they're in too deep now.
Call it like shorten it, collective fusion.
So, you know, what is the NXT team? Fatal Influence or whatever? That is such a
Fatal Influence.
Such an NXT name.
But it's better.
They aired the vignette on a commercial and JC Jane said, "We are the example." I was like, that's a better name than Fatal Influence. It sounds like a Harrison Ford movie from like 1992.
Oh my gosh. I'm super late on this, but I've recently developed a big crush on Harrison Ford. Because I finally paid attention to Star Wars. I was forced to watch it the other day and I was like, damn, Harrison Ford. And I didn't know he was the one from, sorry, I'm out of the loop on this world. I didn't know he was the same one from Indiana Jones, and I've never seen Indiana Jones. So now I feel like I should watch Indiana Jones. But then I watched the love story with Harrison Ford from, I don't remember what the love story was, but Working Girl. He was also in Working Girl. And it was a couple years later, I think, after Star Wars. And he aged so much, I couldn't believe it. But anyways, Harrison Ford is kind of my crush right now. Back in the day, Harrison Ford.
Don't lie.
I don't even know what he looks like right now.
Denise, don't lie. Listen.
What?
You know that's doing something to you. Right
Hey, little old lady Denise would be all up on that, okay? I don't shame.
Wow.
Little old lady Denise would be wanting some piece of Harrison Ford, okay?
All righty then.
But yeah, I had a crush on him from Star Wars, and yeah, now I gotta watch Indiana Jones.
Day-Day says, Sean, you're better as a singles competitor. That I am. Jonathan Corona says, when I ask, when do you think we'll see Delta, Lucha Bros, Steph, or Julia in WWE? Lucha Bros will be well on down the line, probably after one of the, like, I would put them on SmackDown on USA to help establish that, but I would debut the new women in WWE on NXT after they move to the CW. Exactly, Denise. You show people on CW that this is a show worth watching. Love for Boost says, you remind me of Surf Ninjas. Gumby, you mean Pokey's friend? Hell yeah, I used to watch that all the time. Love for Boost said, had a WWF themes album and WWF magazine in the mid-90s with Sid on the cover. Used to love listening to his theme and doing the crazy eyes before powerbombing my wrestling buddies. R.I.P. Sid. He had a great powerbomb.
Did you ever have a wrestling buddy?
I got one right now.
Oh, I've never had one. Who do you have? Oh, I guess we'll find out in just a second who's... Sean Ross Sapp has. That's actually pretty cute.
In honor of Sid, I just powerbombed his old manager, Ted DiBiase. I had one of those when I was younger. And then as I got older, I started to repurchase the things that I had then. So I went to my good friends at Toy Vomit, Toy HQ here in Lexington, who just announced a new location coming in October, and got a bunch of their stuff. If you all are ever in Lexington, you have to check out Toy HQ. It's incredible. We had the Unholy Union vignette as they are headed to face Jade Cargill, Bianca Belair. I think they are going to lose that match, Denise.
I don't want to say I would hope so and sound nasty, but I would hope so only because I feel like they haven't done much with them as champions. And I don't think that Jade and Bianca should have lost in the first place. I know why they did it and I get why they did it, but for storyline purposes and booking purposes, it didn't feel like the right thing to do for that specific reason.
How'd you feel about the Randy Orton promo? I mean, this was...
It was boring, to be honest.
I thought so, too.
He just came out and really just kind of reminded us that, hey, he's wrestling Gunther at Bash in Berlin. And, hey, Gunther is over in Europe. Okay, great. He's a legend Europe. Cool.
Probably going ahead and doing media and stuff like that. But, like, we couldn't have seen a video or something like that. Like,
I mean, we got a video of Gunther on Instagram.
Yeah, on Instagram.
It wasn't anything either. I mean, this was literally nothing.
A better video on Instagram was CM Punk streaming live from under the ring.
I didn't see that. What happened?
Oh, so good. So while he popped up behind Drew McIntyre during this promo, which, again, not the strongest promo in this feud for sure, but CM Punk is live streaming from underneath the ring before he comes out and then beats Drew with the strap and then security guards as well. Yeah, it's fine. That's establishing the stipulation and the danger of the move. Not the greatest promos I've ever seen tonight. Not to say they were bad. It's just, they were just like, well, generic. We've been here and done that. Yeah.
It feels like they've kind of done everything there is to do in terms of like the talking, especially for Drew and Punk. But I mean, especially more so for Gunther and Randy, there really wasn't all that much. But with Drew and Punk, I think if they thought a little extra hard, they could probably come up with something better than what they had Drew to do today. Because Drew really basically just recapped everything that had been going on and talking about the bracelet again. And really the only big moment was when he said that CM Punk had been gone for like 8 years and he didn't do anything and he's coming back and taking all this credit and blah, blah, blah. And then sort of like making it seem like CM Punk fans are cult fans, like cult-like fans. I like that. I did laugh really hard though at this, Sean. Did you notice? So when Drew McIntyre sat down to do the CM Punk sitting down thing, he couldn't really stay down because his skinny jeans were too tight. And if you notice, his legs were never all the way down. They were sort of up because he couldn't bend that way. And then he got up pretty fast. And you can tell them skinny jeans were not working for that. So that was kind of funny. But I did like this, though, because when CM Punk came out, it was cool the way that he basically, you know, ended up throwing him on the commentary table, ended up hitting him with the strap out. I thought that was really great. I feel like, oh, and then once the security guards came out, I was kind of pissed because I thought, oh, man, this is happening again. First, we were screwed out of the frog splash from Dominic. Now we're screwed out of a beating here from CM Punk to Drew. So I was effing thrilled when CM Punk went and started hitting all of the freaking security guards with the strap. So I did think that that kind of made up for it. And it made for a little fun moment. So I did think that once Punk got out there, it turned into something fun. But yeah, the promo from Drew today was just... nothing really special to really talk about other than what I mentioned.
Yeah, the promo stuff tonight, there was nothing momentous. KE775 says, do you think they have any surprises planned for Saturday? I don't. No, I don't, honestly. That's really all I can... I don't think they do. Personally.
I think for these shows, they really rely on the fans and the fan energy to really drive the show. They have good matches. Predictable matches, but they have good matches. So I'm expecting the matches to be good. I'm expecting the crowd to be lively. And that's sort of my expectation for Bash in Berlin.
Stephen Harden says, Sean, thank you and Denise for making Monday night so fun. You see the Drew Punk feud ending this Saturday, or do they get one more match? To me, it seems like their feud is losing steam. What do you think? I think they will maybe do Hell in a Cell at Bad Blood as well. But yeah, it absolutely is losing steam. Friendship bracelet thing ain't for me. It ain't my thing. I don't like, it's not that big of for years in wrestling, they kept families out of most of it. And then when they would do it, it'd be like, ooh, but now like across AEW and WWE, it's like nonstop. It's like Will Ospreay's family and Brian Danielson's family and CM Punk's family. And I'm like, my God, man, like it's nonstop.
But in their defense though, okay, Will Ospreay's wife, wrestler. Okay. CM Punk's wife, former wrestler. Cool. Who else's wives and family are we mentioning? Daniel Bryan's family.
Yeah, and
Bree, former wrestler.
Cody, they always bring up, I mean, his mom wasn't a wrestler, but she was.
Yeah, but she's gotten involved now. So now she's in there too. So,
well, yeah, they got it. That's the point.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, to be fair, it was The Rock bringing her up when he said he was going to whip Cody like a dog in front of his mom.
It's a lot. And my God, Mariah slapping her own mom. Like,
oh yeah, that too. Yeah. You're right.
Christian, as somebody said, Christian talking about dead dads for a year and a half, all that
stuff.
That's
his whole gimmick though. So I'm okay.
I know. I'm saying they're doing it too much in wrestling. That's the point. They're doing it way too much.
I'm gonna buy you a friendship bracelet. I'm gonna make you a friendship bracelet, and then we're gonna have Jeremy Lambert steal it from you, and then you're not gonna care, and then feud's over.
Well, I just want to say, like, it isn't necessarily picking on Drew and CM Punk. I'm just saying, in general, wrestling, do something different.
But what's more insulting than insulting someone's family?
Listen. Denise, you're talking to a guy who ran a man off Twitter last month over stuff like that. Man has still not emerged. I get it. But like, goddamn, it's scripted. It's fake. You can make up your own stories.
Fine.
Do something different.
They're pets? Oh, wait, no. Technically, they're already doing that with Larry.
They're doing that shit with Larry. Pharaoh was just on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Cut that shit out, too. Stay out of PetSmart.
All right, so no family, no pets, exes? Can you do it? Why would you care, though? That doesn't matter. Okay, what else? The only thing is pride, someone's ego.
There are other things.
Well, name some. I'm trying to think of some.
Something different. That's all I ask. I feel like T-Pain just right now, just screaming at the world to do something different.
Maybe all the stories have been told already.
No, cut that shit out.
I don't know.
There are new movies all the time. This is why wins and losses matter. And again, this is not me burying Drew and Punk specifically. Just do something else.
Here's my thing. I'm cool with the family bit. I just think that the segments have been boring.
Denise, I watched a WrestleMania feud over Japanese shampoo commercials once.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. No, but I'm saying, I just think if they come up with things that are more creative while they're telling the story, then it could work.
Possibly.
Besides, yes, just a bracelet. Like, the bracelet should have been a 1-2-time mention, and then that's it. Never mentioned again. It shouldn't have been the whole effing feud.
Steven, I agree with you. Jey Uso defeated Karrion Kross and Kofi Kingston, and then Pete Dunne defeated Miz and Xavier Woods. Neither one of these were particularly amazing matches to me.
They were good matches. They were fine.
They were fine.
They were good.
They were fine. But I did like the little tease of New Day before this, with Xavier showing up with darker gear on to sort of like match Final Testament, to tease that as well. And then, of course, Kofi Kingston involved with, you know, with Karrion Kross as well, like playing that up in their match. Jey Uso taking advantage of the fact that those two are at each other's throats. Then Pete Dunne sneaks a win on Miz over Xavier Woods. These are fine. I'm glad these two advance. Pete Dunne needs that opportunity. And Jey Uso is very, very over.
Yeah, I actually thought, now looking back at this, I actually thought the second match was probably the better one. The one with
way better.
With the Miz and Woods and Dunn. I thought that match, they looked like they were trying new stuff. They were really having fun with the three-way stipulation there that they had. So I felt like this one definitely stood out to me a whole lot more. So that's when I think, like, oh yeah, they were actually good. I want to rephrase that. This match was pretty good. And to be honest, when I first saw the card announcement, I wasn't really too thrilled about it. I was like, whatever, this match is going to be like a throwaway. But no, I thought they did a good job, and I wasn't sure who was winning this match. I had gone with Pete Dunne, but I didn't actually think he was going to win. So the fact that Pete Dunne did get the qualifying spot, I'm looking at this, and this is looking really good. They announced the ones that are happening next week, and so right now we got Pete Dunne, we got Jey Uso in there. My two picks for the other two spots is Bronson Reed and Ilya Dragunov. I'm hoping those are the final four in that fatal four way.
Yeah, we got that. Those are set for next week on WWE Raw. Also Zelina versus Shayna. But we had the Braun Breaker promo as well. He's just waiting for his victim. That's effectively what he's doing here. But I will say this. Miz outperformed from where I thought he was. Considering all the wrestling that I have seen and that I am anticipating seeing Saturday, these two I didn't think quite stood out like as something that I will look back on this week and stand out to me. K775 says, do you think Liv and Rhea ends, at least for now? Bad blood feels like a Raw women's division has been put on hold for this feud. Well, the reason it's been put on hold for this feud is because that's just the way that WWE has booked women's wrestling over the last year or so. They have not developed contenders underneath. So you had Piper Niven challenging off of nothing. You had, my God, who else was it? Alba and Isla off of nothing. Mee Chin won a match against Tiffany Stratton, but the person that she's facing, Nia Jax, she's lost to twice in the last couple months. So they got to do better at building. Like, Mee Chin got over, but you need to give her more wins. Michael Branson says, we have one feud about a bracelet and the other about a necklace. Triple H is all about his jewelry.
Now we need one about a ring or something.
Jonathan Corona says, question for you both, which wrestler has the best pyro? On top of that, which stadium has the best wrestling pyro?
Probably Cody, because he has a bunch of pyro.
I'll throw three from back in the day. Booker T, the flames that would rise.
Talking all time or just current?
Sure. Batista.
Yeah, it was good.
Jimmy Jacobs during his ROH match where they just used all the pyro that they weren't going to take across the border.
Oh, yeah.
And Gangrel coming up from the fire was very
good. What about the Dudleys, because they have the little one that shoots cool. Her like
that was cool. As far as stadium, I can't think of any that come to mind, but I will say this, the stuff at Wembley yesterday looked unbelievable.
Dude looked like Disneyland pyro. Have you seen Disneyland pyro? It's amazing. Disneyland pyro, they go all out, man. I mean, they have this fireworks show. It's iconic.
Guys, get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. Let's talk about this segment. We ain't really going to talk about the damn match, besides the fact that Bronson Reed did a suicide dive. What we saw were two sirloin beef sons of bitches, hopefully starting the Peter Griffin versus the Chicken storyline. They, in two specific nights, really got Bronson Reed over as a must-watch performer and may have rehabilitated Braun Strowman. These two fought to the backstage, threw a trash can at Braun. Then Braun knocks Bronson Reed over the car hood, but Bronson Reed ends up slamming Braun Strowman and doing the tsunami off this ledge onto the top of a car. Dream Ninja says, here's $5 for the most insane tsunami I've ever seen. Rhea, Damian wearing each other's merch warmed my dark heart. But Jonathan Corona says, not going to lie, if they give us Braun versus Reed in a PLE they'd given us at Berlin, they could hump. Well, listen, I think they should keep it to Raw. What I worry about is Braun Strowman in this thing was like, oh, can't feel my fingers. I don't know if they're writing him off because he has had those troubles in the past. But I'm like, if they're writing him off, how in the hell was he allowed to do all that? Like, if he wasn't cleared, how was he able to do this? Denise, this was incredible. They have made Bronson Reed so must watch.
Dude, this was, I don't know how to explain this, but this was my name written all over it. This is the kind of shit that I love to see. And I have been, how many times, I think people here that watch the Raw post show constantly, you guys have heard me say, push Bronson Reed now for months and months and months. I was getting annoying about it. And honestly, I'm kind of thankful because we finally feel like it's happening for Bronson Reed, where he is somebody that people look for. He's gotten the tsunami over. People are making, you know, predictions as to how many he's going to hit on every opponent. People care about him. The whole thing that they did outside the ring, from the back of the stage to the parking lot, and the freaking tsunami off the freaking wall to Braun Strowman on the freaking car. That was so, so awesome. Sean, how many times don't you and I talk about how WWE doesn't have all of these moments that in like 5 years, I'm going to go back and look for the clip, right? We all have our clips that we like to go back and watch, right? there hasn't been that many for me in recent years where I can honestly say, I want to go back and watch that. Like these really memorable moments, like things like this. And this is something that I would probably go back and watch in like 3 years or whatever. Be like, oh yeah, I remember that one time that Bronson Reed hit the tsunami on Braun Strowman. That's those kind of moments that I feel sometimes we still need to have, especially, I don't know if it's because we look back at things fonder from our past or what, but I really do think that we need to have more moments like that in WWE. And this was one of them. And the moment where you just see like the dent go in the car, you see the glass break, you see a little electrical issue. Man, I love all that stuff. Are you kidding me? I'm going to remember this. And this was very fun. I think you're right in terms of them sort of, you know, making Braun Strowman feel brand new again, because God, I remember when I was doing my SummerSlam rewatches and they had so many great stuff for Braun Strowman. And then out of nowhere, you know, he just kind of became somebody that you didn't even care about. At one point when he came back to WWE, yep. Like you didn't even really care. I feel bad to say that, but you just really didn't. And now I'm like, oh, okay, we're getting these two big meaty dudes. I mean, when Braun hit Bronson Reed with that big boot, I was sold on a big boot. That's not even anything amazing. And I was sold. I had a great time with this. This was awesome. I think they have something really special.
I want them to continue this. I keep saying and have for years, a proper Peter Griffin versus the Chicken storyline. I'm not talking about two people who can coexist and be across a table from one another. No, when the show comes on the air, they're fighting. There's a match happening in the ring, and you got somebody running to ringside saying, no, stop what you're doing now, because we need the two of you that are in the ring having a match to help us back there. We need everybody to possibly help us. That's what I want to see out of these two, and it will get Braun Strowman over. It will.
Oh, yeah. He's already over my book, yeah. Bro. Bronson Reed for moms. We need to keep that shit going.
DNC Digital says, Punk loves Brett when he spoke of the bracelets fans give him. It reminded me of when Bret Hart's jacket was stolen by Jean-Pierre Lafitte. PCO still at it, by the way. Still at it. I love
PCO.
Chad Gable against Uncle Howdy. Uncle Howdy ended up winning this. There was a lot of shenanigans here. I wouldn't say this was a great match, but there were some really cool spots in this match. There were like the Olympic slam on the table. There was the big, like, I think it was a T-bone superplex. And then Wyatt Six got involved. Ivy Nile got involved, all that. But, like, there were, like, three really good moments during this match that I thought, that's kind of how you need to construct what they're doing here. And, I mean, here's something wild to think about, Denise. Do you know when Bo Dallas's last singles match was?
No. When?
August 2018. Do you know who it was against?
No. Who?
Scott Dawson.
Damn, I didn't even remember Scott Dawson.
Exactly. I thought of that and I said, who's Scott Dawson? I go, oh my God, that's Dax Harwood.
Yeah, like, I was going to say, I didn't even register right now. I was thinking about it. I was like, wait a minute, hold on.
I forgot. Yeah, that's how long it's been since you had a singles match.
Holy shit. Pre-COVID too. Pre-COVID.
5 years since his last in-ring match. That's just so wild. But there were some very cool moments here that I thought at least condition you early on. It's like, all right, well, Bo's been out of the ring for a while, but he's taking some wild-ass bumps here. Like that angle slam on the table, or Olympic slam they called it, and such. And Bo is only 34 years old. He's 34 years old without having bumped for the last 5 years
he's 24.
Week. Well, I mean, he also got started very, very young. He was training at 18. He was on the WWE main roster at like 21, 22. Like he was way, way ahead. But I thought this was harmless and they got the win here. Yeah.
I popped so hard for the angle slam. That's the only part I care about to mention. That was the only part of the match that I was like, oh, nice. Because, I mean, It was awesome. It was, and on the commentary table, it was really cool. But I think the number one thing that a lot of people were mentioning when I was doing the watch along was the wig, the big giant wig, people not really feeling it, too much hair. I do kind of feel like it was a little bit too much, but at some points I did find it a little bit distracting, especially because I kept noticing that he kept having to like move the hair whenever he had to like do certain things. So I wonder if they're going to like maybe tweak that a little bit. I think they should. Just felt like a little too much. So that was the other really big thought that I had during this.
Guys, I want to thank you all so much for joining us. Check out my all-in review if you all didn't. And also, I will be here this Saturday for a post-show review with Mr. Santi Zap, a monster here on YouTube. Then we come right back the next week for All Out, I believe it is. So just keep it locked because, quite frankly, besides this upcoming Sunday, we got shows every single day for the next 2 weeks. Just unbelievable. And my God, we have had, we'll be through a 3 week stretch where there's only one day without a show on Fightful. Please subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. It is only $5 a month or $54 a year. If you like what we do, if you want to support what we do, we would greatly appreciate it. DNC Digital says, I must have missed it, but has it ever explained why Gable was targeted specifically? I always felt the huge Otis story was sacrificed.
It happened today. That's when they officially explained it with the Uncle Howdy promo or Bo Dallas. He had said that it was due to his arrogance, and he said something about wanting to chop his head off, and basically because he was a terrible person, which is what we all pretty much speculated.
And then this person reminds me, No Mercy is Sunday. So yeah, for 3 weeks straight, Fightful has shows. Kate and Alex will be here for that. Denise won't be here next Monday, so it'll be me. I won't be here next Wednesday, and then I think I missed the following one. I got a couple Wednesdays I'm out. I'm out for Grand Slam as well. Oh, I'll be at AEW on the 11th. I'll be there because they're here in Lexington, so we'll be doing that one. I'll be gone the 23rd, so have a bit of a revolving cast. Might get some familiar faces involved here. We're working on some other stuff for Fightful Select as well. Denise, what do you got going on?
YouTube.com/Denise Salcedo. Go over there. I post lots of content. I will be at Bash in Berlin. So if you guys want to keep up with all of that content, I will be keeping you posted there. Instagram, Twitter, all of the apps at @_Denise Salcedo.
Safe travels to Denise. Check out her coverage. She always does a really great job there. The presser footage until it gets copyright claimed is the best that exists.
I still haven't been uncopyrighted, by the way.
I sent you that release. It was from a video from 5 years ago.
No.
There you go. There you go. Until next time, guys. We're out.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.